We have an episode given to us in the life and ministry of Christ in the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. It's about a man named Zacchaeus. The children sing, a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. You remember the story. And Jesus was criticized because he went to eat with this sinner. But the Lord responds to all of this and gives us this declarative statement in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I take this verse for the subject when God invaded the earth. When God invaded the earth. I hope you believe with all of your heart that our God is the Creator God. And what the Bible says about God and His creation is true. That in 6 days God spoke the world into existence. And I believe it just as it's stated for me in the Word of God. I've gone on record saying that many times. On the seventh day, God rested. And we believe this by faith. Not only do we believe this, but the Bible tells us in the New Testament, by faith we believe that He framed the world. Everything was exactly the way God designed it until sin entered into the picture and also into the bloodstream of all humanity. The only way you can explain your behavior and my behavior is that we are sinners, separated from God because of our sin. And to properly have any understanding of the cross and what Christ came to do, we understand that all our sins were laid on Him, that He paid our sin debt. But here, the Lord Jesus, in His own words, references His coming into the world. If we could have stopped Him for a moment there in Jericho when He made this statement and said, would you explain a little of that to me? I really don't think it needs much explanation because He says the Son of Man, a title He uses for Himself. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you said, what do you mean by that? He would declare to us, that's the reason for the incarnation. When God was robed in flesh and became a man without ceasing to be God, that's why I came. And so He describes for us His mission. And because of the work of the Holy Spirit in the world as the continuing work of Christ, that continues to be His mission in the world. And you wonder, as I use the expression invasion, what has God done? He's invaded the world. He's invaded the earth. He came from heaven to earth so that we might be able to go from earth to heaven. I hope you know that you're going from earth to heaven. And I hope you understand why you're going. No merit of your own. Because you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Religion won't get you from earth to heaven. But Christ will. He said that He would receive us unto Himself in John chapter 14. That's exactly what He will do. He's come to seek and to save. I wish I had the language skills to describe for you what I'm imagining as I say God invaded the earth. He broke through the planetary design that He designed Himself. And He came to earth. He invaded the earth. The God of heaven and earth, the only true and living God, invaded the earth. He didn't come like some massive army might have come. The only time America has been invaded as a nation was by the British in the War of 1812. They succeeded in some ways. They burned the White House down. had to be rebuilt. But one of our Tennessean heroes, Andrew Jackson, taught him a lesson in the Battle of New Orleans. You ought to know enough about your history and about your great American heroes, especially Tennesseans, to be grateful for the way the Lord used Jackson in that battle. But an invading army came, and they had ideas and plans. And Jackson was fighting in that Battle of 1812. The records are ready for us to read. But it was a one-sided invasion. They came to invade, and he withstood the forces of invasion. America's armies are not invading armies. They're liberating armies. If you read the history of America's armies, you read that we went to liberate people from one bondage after another. And the revisionists have rewritten American history the wrong way. I hope you have discovered the right things that true Americans and American patriots have done. And you understand the liberating armies of America that have gone to save and set free people. And we imagine that an invasion is something like that. But this is the most unique invasion in human history. It was accomplished by a baby. And you say, what kind of force can a baby raise? Hold your place here just a moment and turn with me, please, to the book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, the fifth chapter. The outcome of this invasion, this divine invasion, when God invaded the earth, the Bible says in verse 8 of Revelation chapter 5, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Interesting, isn't it, that our prayers are being kept up with in heaven. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And if you look in some less than meaningful way on the birth of Christ, the invasion of God to the earth, and imagine that it's just a baby coming to be born, I want you to listen to these results I've just read and let God speak to your heart and know that because that baby came, every kindred, every tongue, from every tribe and every nation will be bowing and praising God and declaring, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. There's never been any conquering done greater than the conquer Christ has done. There's never been any invasion that reached further than the invasion God made to earth with the birth of his Son. And so as we think about Christmas, let Jesus explain it. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Move beyond the manger and understand that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And by the way, he's still seeking and he's still saving. He's still working. He's still working on some of you to bring you to himself. And he's working on all of us in whom he's come to live. Christ in us, the hope of glory. To work in us that Christ might be formed in us. That we might live the life that he's designed. When he comes to conquer, he doesn't just conquer in one fashion. It's all of us. He wants all of us in every way yielded entirely to him. This is what he came to do when God invaded the earth. I want you to write just a few things down. But before you do, I want you to look with me at the book of 1 John chapter 1. And these are just ways that God mentions him, his coming to invade the earth. In John chapter 1, the Bible says in verses 1 and 2, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested. Would you mark that word? Manifested. And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested. Would you mark that? Was manifested unto us. Notice this eternal life was with the Father. The eternal one, God the Son, was with the Father and was manifested unto us. God came to earth. There's nothing insignificant about that. It is the most significant thing to take place in human history when God invaded the earth with himself. And he's coming again. And every eye will see him. The Bible says that we're not to sorrow as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. He's coming again. No doubt about that. And so I want you to think on this. Would you write some things down as we think about this? In John chapter 1, the Lord describes this again. This is all about Bethlehem. Notice in verse 14 of John chapter 1, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Behold him, adore him, worship him, look at him. The Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God became flesh and dwelt among us. When God invaded the earth, let's write this down, please. He chose a time for his invasion. Would you turn with me, please, in Galatians chapter 4? God chose a time for his earthly invasion. When we read the history of God's work in the Old Testament, we come to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. History is preparing for the first coming and preparing for the second coming of Christ. Now, when you reach the end of the Old Testament and begin the New Testament, you read the last verse in the book of Malachi and you read the first verse in the book of Matthew, you may have the idea that the New Testament begins where the Old Testament ends. It does not. The New Testament does not begin where the Old Testament ends. There's an interlude of 400 years. Some people say sometimes it was a silent 400 years. But the truth of the matter is it was not silent. There was no written revelation given until we get the gospel according to Matthew, recorded for us in the New Testament. But God was at work. He was working the kingdoms of men. He was at work. The Lord was preparing for the time of the coming of his invasion. And the Word of God says in verse 4 of chapter 4 in Galatians, but when the fullness of the time was come, when everything was set, when the time was chosen, the hour for God's invasion, when everything was ready, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. In His time, world empires came to conquer the Jew. The Jews were set aside as a nation. The Babylonians reigned. They were conquered by the Medes and Persians. The Persians and Medes conquered by the Greeks. And the Greeks conquered by the Romans. The Romans existed for hundreds of years before they came to rule as a world empire. As a matter of fact, the first Roman emperor, Caesar Augustus, is spoken of in the Bible in Luke chapter 2. God pinpoints the time of Christ's birth with that statement. Augustus died when he was 76 years old. He reigned as the Roman emperor until 14 AD. And so when we read in the historical writing of Luke in chapter 2, in the days of Caesar Augustus, when Augustus was reigning, he began as an 18-year-old. He died when he was 76-year-old. As a 76-year-old, he was living until 14 AD. So during the birth of Christ, Rome was in its zenith, and they had prepared certain things in the world. If you study history, you're going to find out that God prepared the world with the Babylonians. He further prepared the world with the Medo-Persian Empire. He further prepared the world with the Greek Empire and Hellenistic influence. And then when Rome came to rule and Rhodes connected the known world, when language was unified in the Greek language, even when a postal system had been worked out by one of those empires, God said the exact moment for His invasion of the earth struck. And in that moment, let's read it again, Luke chapter 2. And I want you to read it in this way, thinking about the invasion God planned. When you read Luke chapter 2 and the account we hold so dear concerning the birth of Christ, notice how the human penman writes. And it came to pass, Luke 2:1, in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now you can read historically about what prompted Caesar to do that taxing and accounting. But the moment was God's chosen moment. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own country. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David. So they're traveling to a certain place and time because God had chosen the time of His invasion of the earth, the time His Son was to be brought forth. When everything was in its perfect place, God sent forth His Son. The second thing I want you to write down is the place of God's choosing. He not only chose the time for His invasion when God invaded the earth, He chose the place for the invasion. If you read the history of World War II, there was some discussion and some really violent disagreement about where our Allied troops would land on the day of the invasion that really ended the war. And there was a great deal of argument between generals about where the landing should be, the very place of the invasion should take place. But God chose the place of His invasion. I want you to turn with me to the Old Testament just a moment, to the book of Micah. And we read in the book of Micah in the Old Testament, in chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah," there was more than one Bethlehem, "but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting." Remember Luke chapter 2, they came to Bethlehem. That was not some accident. That was a place of prophecy. God had prophesied. God, in his infinite wisdom, had chosen the very spot on earth that Jesus Christ was to be born. Now think of this. And when you begin to look at Bethlehem, you find many historical things connected to Bethlehem. I've given messages about that, and so I'm not going to labor you with any more information about that. But I'm just trying to say there was such attention given to this invasion for your soul and my soul that God not only chose the time, God chose the place. Number three, God chose a vessel for this invasion. Now, you wouldn't have planned an invasion like this. But God chose a vessel. Matthew chapter 1. Would you turn there, please? And we want to listen to what God says about the vessel he chose to use. He didn't arrive in a ship. He didn't arrive with a conquering army. He didn't send angels. This is how God chose to do it. When God invaded the earth, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Now there's no question going to be about whether Joseph had any intimacy in relationship with the woman he was espoused to. Before he ever knew her in any physical way, she was told by the angel of God she was going to have a baby boy. That she had been chosen as God's chosen vessel to invade the earth. She had no way of knowing, and neither would any person have any way of knowing, just how effective, how far-reaching this invasion would be. Then in a small village in Bethlehem, her baby would be born. And this baby would be the conqueror. He'd be called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting God, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. And he would rule on the earth. And he goes on to say here, she was with child of the Holy Ghost. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." This is God's chosen way to invade the earth. Conceived in her, she was chosen, selected, this virgin, to bring forth what God would send forth into the world. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. God chose the vessel for this invasion. But there's a fourth thing I want you to write down. And that is the purpose of this invasion. God is not like us. He didn't just need something to do. He did what he did with great purpose and meaning. And we're back to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Why he came. You couldn't be any more plain spoken about why he came. Why this invasion? Why all this fuss and all these details and all these nations moved around like puppets on a string, proving that the hearts of the kings are in the hands of God? All of this timing, all of this specific place, all of this chosen vessel, as God has ordained and planned with eternal deliverance, God has planned the exactness of all this. And then Jesus Christ stands and says to you and to me, all of this, all this movement from Nazareth to Bethlehem at the right time for Mary to bring forth a child, all of this decree of Caesar Augustus to take us to the place of our lineage, Bethlehem, all of this, for centuries upon centuries, the prophecy of concerning the place, all of this, that for one time in human history, a woman who's never known a man, who's a virgin, would have a son. All of this was for this purpose. I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost. Think of it. Think of what God has done for the salvation of your soul. Think of it. I was born in Selma, Alabama. Once I went there for a special meeting. I've been back. But one time I went there, and the mayor of Selma, Alabama, brought me to his office in the municipal building downtown and said, I'd like to give you a key to the city. I got a phone call from the town where I was raised in Maryville, Tennessee. And they said, we'd like to put you on the wall of fame for Blount County in Maryville, Tennessee, as one of our outstanding citizens. I went to a banquet, received the award. I drove to the capital of our state, and they said, we want to give you an award as the statesman in our state, the statesman of the year. And I carried an award I received back. And what would you think would happen to the Son of God in his hometown, in the area where the province he grew up? The Bible says in the Gospel according to Luke, let me read it to you. He went to Nazareth to preach. In verse 16 of chapter 4 in Luke, he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And I'd like to read this all to you, but I'm not going to. And I'd like to read the message he gave after the reading. In verse 25, he said, but I tell you a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and when great famine was throughout all the lands. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Zidon. In other words, when he came to help a widow, she was not a Jew. He talks about lepers in verse 27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. God did not choose to cleanse a Jew, but a Syrian. And when they heard him in his hometown, they didn't give him the key to the city. They didn't put him on a wall as an outstanding citizen. They didn't give him an award for statesmanship. The Bible says in verse 28 and 29, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him and led him unto the brow of the hill whereupon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. They said, I'll tell you what we're going to do for you. We're going to kill you. We're going to kill you. And I think sometimes you and I talk about Christ and what he's done and Bethlehem and his life and Calvary like it's almost just a passing thing. But from the very outset of all of it, Herod sought to destroy and slaughtered hundreds of innocent babies just to try to kill the Savior. When he started his public ministry, the home where he grew up, he'd been a carpenter. But when he began his public ministry, went to the synagogue, the Bible says his hometown said, we're going to kill you. And then finally, they executed their plans. They connived and lied, schemed, paid for liars to come until he was crucified. And there's a lot of confusion if you just stop right there. But all the cloud of confusion passes if you move 3 days later and see that he's risen from the dead. Amen. And he is alive forever. Because this is why he came. God invaded the earth in order to be able to take us to heaven to be with him forever. How many of you know you're going with him? Isn't it wonderful? And there's some listening to me who don't have that assurance. And I want you to consider all that God has done for your salvation, your cleansing, and to provide for you a heavenly home. This is why God invaded the earth. Let's bow in prayer together, may we?